This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7.06 a.m., Monday the 1st of June, and in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Muhammad Hanif Khatri Abdullah, legal counsel for Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad on Tun Mahathir's supposed Bersatu membership termination. But before that, we're taking a look at the global markets.
Yeah, global markets closed mixed on Friday as markets reacted to developments in China and the U.S. following China's decision to approve a controversial national security law in Hong Kong on Thursday. So as a result, Nikkei was down 0.2%, Hang Seng down 0.7%, Shanghai bucked the trend by going up 0.2%, while Singapore was down 0.2%, and our very own KLCI was up 0.4%.
Now, U.S. markets were more upbeat. They closed after President Donald Trump's press conference, where he announced that the U.S. would take action to eliminate special treatment towards Hong Kong. The Dow closed flat, the S&P 500 was up 0.5%, and the Nasdaq charted a 1.3% rise. So for some thoughts on what these developments mean for markets, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, based in Sydney. Now, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Kingsley. Now, The Donald Trump has threatened U.S. sanctions against Hong Kong's special trade status. They were not really specifically spelled out last week, but things nevertheless remain quite uncertain. What does this mean for the equity market?
Well, I think the rising trade and geopolitical tensions just add to the sense of malaise. And certainly in the U.S., we've seen a lot of stimulus from the central banks, and there will be more with the Main Street lending program. However, businesses would need to borrow to benefit from that, and some simply won't because they're looking at weak conditions in global trade. So I think for the U.S. and China and other nations, we expect the globally traded goods sector to be where we see the weakness most prominently, and that's where bankruptcies are likely to come. It was a tailwind for economic growth, but now I think it's a bit of a headwind.
So Kingsley, you know, markets just seem to keep going up, even in Asia. Are you nervous? Are you worried about things? Do you think that market exuberance is a little bit frothy?
Well, I think we could easily trade sideways from here. I think because there's been so much stimulus in terms of the money markets, it's unlikely that we're going to see a collapse like what we saw earlier in the pandemic. But it would certainly be possible for the market to have a correction to trade sideways perhaps for some time until we get a bit more clarity on what's going to happen with these geopolitical tensions.
So other than that, right, what should we keep our eyes on? Is it U.S. consumer spending? Because it accounts for 2/3 of the economy. I mean, it dropped a record of 13.6% in April. So if that number deflates somewhat, even more, are you going to be worried about markets?
Well, look, that you put your finger on what is the important number. I mean, consumer spending is upwards of 60% of the economy in many places, particularly the U.S., so we do need to see some of that very sharp move down start to retrace upwards. And I think that that's going to take a little time. I mean, you have upwards of 40-odd million persons in the United States who are on some kind of benefit at the moment because their employment conditions are poor. I think we need to see the restart move forward in a way that encourages consumer sentiment so that those numbers start to climb. But I think that realistically, that has to take a couple of months. It's not going to happen in weeks.
Now, Kingsley, China's factory activity grew in May, but at a slower pace, while export orders contracted for the fifth straight month. Is China's recovery uneven, and should investors stay away from Chinese equities for the time being?
Again, I think where we're seeing the unevenness is in the globally traded sector. I mean, the domestic economy, although consumer consumption's been soft in China, it is starting to recover. Where things have been weak is in that export sector. And as you know, China for many years has had an export-driven economic growth in terms of trade. And because that's weak now for multiple reasons, not just the pandemic, but also the trade tensions with the United States and to a lesser extent with Europe, I think we are going to see quite a bit of softness. So we're steering clear of taking any major positions in equities in China. And we're also just a little bit wary of Asia for the time being. We just need to settle down this recovery, I think, because it was quite exuberant to start with.
So, Kingsley, where are you hiding your money then? Where's the safe havens?
We have some money in cash. We have found that the Australian iron ore miners like BHP and Rio have been quite a good place to hide. Another stock that's doing very well is Fortescue, for the same reason, all iron ore miners. We own a few gold stocks. We own some large cap tech companies like Microsoft, and we also have big positions in healthcare stocks. So look, I think there's plenty of value around, so there's no need to panic. But we do need to just wait, see, I think, on how strong this recovery will be.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, based in Sydney. Now, when you ask him, where are you hiding your money, Xiaoning, you make him sound like a squirrel of some kind, you know, hoarding nuts for the winter.
Yeah, they are. We are. It's hibernation time, right? Because you don't know whether winter is coming, and that's taking like something out of what? Game of Thrones kind of thing.
Yeah,
but everyone's been talking about the Great Recession, right? But the markets don't behave like there's a Great Recession. So I find this disconnect a little bit jarring, and I want to hear what, you know, the experts have to say, whether, you know, it's really going to be tough times. But so far, most of our commentators, you know, are cautious, but yet still, you know, invested, but probably not 100%, and still looking at safe haven assets, which for him is in the precious commodity space, so gold and also iron ore.
But who else is also going on a bit of a spending spree overseas is Saudi Arabia, who've just transferred $40 billion of its foreign reserves to the Public Investment Fund, or the PIF, in order to finance this spending spree. So it looks like the kingdom is bargain hunting for assets during this pandemic. So the PIF has already spent at least $8 billion investing in US and European blue chip companies in the first 3 months of this year. So this includes names like BP, Royal Dutch Shell, Total, Boeing, Citigroup, Disney and Facebook. And they've also led an investor group that has agreed to buy Newcastle United, the English football club, for £300 million.
Yeah, it's a very interesting bunch of names, right? Because some of them really have been affected by COVID-19.
I'm interested by Boeing on this list, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there's no more travel. I guess a lot of airlines might go bust. So how will that affect orders of Boeing? And football, I mean, yes, English Premier League is supposed to start, but will it still have the same allure as in the past when you can't go in to stadiums, you can't sell merchandise? Will TV rights be cheaper? All these questions. And then they also, of course, invest in oil and gas, which we know is not having such a good time, and banks also, because they are having to provide more for potential NPLs. But maybe they take a much longer term view, right? Because you're talking about a public investment fund, and at the end of the day, they do need to diversify their income away from just oil and gas. So maybe this is part of their measures. I mean, they are facing tough times. So the government has increased borrowing. They've introduced tough austerity measures, which includes tripling VAT to 15% value added tax and suspending all cost of living allowances for civil servants while slashing state spending and delaying projects. I think Saudi is in a bit of a tough spot there for sure.
Yeah, so but the Saudi finance minister, Mohammed Al-Jadan, did tell the Financial Times that the kingdom has ample financial reserves. In March, it stood at $470 billion. Economists, though, say that Riyadh does have to keep foreign reserves above $300 billion US in order to preserve the riyal's peg to the dollar, which the government insists that it will maintain.
Yeah, I think we'll have to watch this space. And one indication would be to see where oil prices are going, whether it will improve. And it has improved somewhat, but whether it's enough, because currently Brent crude is at $38 US per barrel.
All right, and we're heading into some messages now. And up next, we're speaking with Mohammed Hanif Khatri Abdullah, legal counsel for Tun Mahathir, on Tun Mahathir's Bersatu membership status. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.